because of the subject matter.
You ever seen a grown man naked?
Oh, it burns!
Parents may wish to view tonight's episode.
Well, a boy's best friend is his mother.
You're not my mother!
With their children.
Red Rum!
Kitties, and welcome to this week's edition of HazardCast. I'm Todd, and with me as always, the man who once turned down sex because he couldn't find any typewriter ribbons, is Nappy.
What?
Didn't get that reference?
Whatever.
Did not get that reference. Resident Evil. There was at least one person in our audience that got that reference. There might not be.
Probably not.
I was probably the only one.
Captain Obscure over
yes,
here.
Yes, absolutely. So, last week we went over The Shining. This week we said we were going to do The Exorcist, but we changed our mind. We're not going to do The Exorcist. We actually each picked a horrible horror movie, and we both watched two movies and hated each other for picking these movies.
Oh, I love you. I actually love watching terrible horror movies. They're actually a part of my life. They teach me what not to do in my life. Well, let's start off with The Traveler, for instance.
The Traveler, that was my pick. I picked The Traveler as my horrible, horrible movie. So, The Traveler. I'll let, you know what, you will give the plot line and the rundown for my movie, and I will give the plot line and the rundown for your movie. So, The Traveler, by Nappy.
Oh, yes. Well, The Traveler, which stars the ever-so-great Val Kilmer, his comeback role, is a star-studded cast of nobodies who are a bunch of police officers in a precinct, and at a specific time, Val Kilmer walks in and says he's confessing two murders. Sorry, spoiler, they all die. But
I will just say, if for anybody who has not seen these movies, there are going to be spoilers, and you're
really
better
shouldn't.
Off by just listening to this instead of watching the movie.
This movie, if I am correct, simulates stage 3 colon cancer for about an hour and a half. So if you want to feel sympathetic towards people with colon cancer, watch this movie. You will know their pain. So pretty much what happens is, like I said, Val Kilmer walks in, admits to murders, and then these people start dying in some of the most ludicrous and ridiculous ways possible. We got some, stereotypical characters, the police officers. Like, you got the cowardly fat cop. His name is, I think, Galoy.
Galoy. That was the gentleman from Jurassic Park, I believe, right?
Something like that.
Who also played the coward in Jurassic Park. He makes a good fat coward.
Yes, he's very good at his job of being fat and cowardly.
Yes.
You've got the the illegally fraternizing police duo, Janie and Sherwood. Yeah, of course.
Because they needed a girl. Which I don't even understand why. I'm watching this whole entire movie and I'm like, come on, where's the tit shot? Where's the tit shot? We never get a tit shot.
That would have been fantastic, but unfortunately they didn't have the budget. Then you've got the angry Italian cop, Hawkins, and he did a horrible job at being Italian. And then you've got the grief-stricken detective, whose home life is on the rocks and has a dark secret.
Dun, dun, dun.
And Val Kilmer plays a character called Mr. Nobody. Really? Mr. Nobody?
Well, you can't know his name.
No, his name is Mr. Nobody.
No, he has a name, but I mean, that's the...
Oh, yeah, he has a name, but he's Mr. Nobody.
Mr. Nobody.
Yes. In and out of that film.
So, what we're saying, and you can read between the lines if you want to, but I suggest you don't, and you just take it for what it's worth. Val Kilmer is nobody.
Yes.
That's all I'm saying. I'm just saying, the movie said it, not me.
And Batman. The movie movie starts out, he walks in, like I said, and he tells him that he killed somebody. And there's a bunch of dialogue. Fat, scared cop pulls out his gun, trains it on Val Kilmer, and then the rest of the cops come out, and they arrest him and arraign him and all that other fun stuff. And then
which makes no sense. I mean, would somebody, if I walked into a police station and I said, hey, I murdered somebody, and then they just arrest you and they have no, they have nothing.
But he's nobody.
He's nobody. You just, I'm, just for shits and giggles, I think one day we should walk into a police station with a camcorder and say, hey, I murdered somebody, and see what they do.
But there was no camcorder.
Yes, there was.
Okay, fine, there was a camcorder. But they weren't supposed to acknowledge that.
Right, well.
Well, and one of the fantastic things that I love about this movie is that right after that scene, two state police officers, out of the blue, walk in and say, the roads are closed. Sorry. And then walk out.
Well, yeah, they just, their entire role in this movie was to establish that the roads were closed because it's raining.
So they didn't radio it in like normal police officers do? Though they had to go down to the station, out of their way, past the roads that are closed, to tell them that the roads are closed.
So I have a giant problem with the ambiance of this movie. I always hate, I hate Christmas movies that don't take place and somewhere where it snows. I hate that. Because it doesn't feel like Christmas. And you have all the season's greetings and...
It was actually snowing. It was really wet snow.
That's a personal gripe. It has nothing to do with this film. At all. I just hate the fact that they do that.
Oh, yes. There are actually a couple of scenes, if I'm correct, where it actually wasn't raining. For just some weird reason, it stopped raining for like 2 seconds.
Well, and
raining.
Yeah, the guy with the hose screwed it up.
Yeah, well, you know what? Not all stagehands are good at what they do. Now, other problems that I had with it was the dialogue. It was abominable. Seriously, nobody talks like these people. If I'm not going to say anything about what they said because you need to see it for yourself.
No, you don't. You really don't.
Well, I hate I hate humanity, so you really do need to see it. I hope that everyone sees it and experiences the slow and painful ass death that I did for about an hour and a half.
I'm glad that I could make you experience that.
Thank you. Well, I'm pretty sure my movie made you experience the exact same thing.
Well, because I had seen your movie before, and never did I think that I was going to sit down and watch that. But we'll get to that one afterwards.
Teehee. Now, the first death in the movie is Angry Italian Cop. Oh, spoiler. He gets locked in a cell. A rope comes out of nowhere, ties him up around his neck, and then he gets whipped with his own belt.
And you didn't see his belt? I mean...
No, he got whipped with a belt. It was his own belt.
Was there a belt? Okay.
There was a belt.
You saw more than I did.
And then after that, some mystical force picked up a pair of scissors and cut his tongue out, which was also terrible special effects. Seriously, guys?
Which
seriously?
Was, we should mention, all the while, you have Val Kilmer confessing to the cops.
Yes.
About his first murder.
He's confessing. At the same time, this murder is actually happening. Now... If I'm correct, if you cut out someone's tongue, didn't they used to do that in the medieval ages? And people survived. Right? Am I correct? They cut out someone's tongue. If they spoke against the church, they cut out their tongue.
Well, I believe they'd cauterize it. No, I think that's a... There's major veins that run through your tongue. I believe if you just cut out your tongue and sat there and bled, you would die.
You would bleed out in approximately a minute and a half.
If you're acting in The Traveler, yes.
Well, there you go. Oh, no, trust me, there's far worse things that happen in this god-awful movie. So they run around, they're freaking out, and the funny part about the whole entire situation is they just leave the body there. He's dead, he's in the cell, oh, God, this cop is dead, let's move on. Hawkins is hanging from a rope that they used prior. Oh, wait, am I spoiling something in the future? Whoops!
Well, I will say, my favorite line out of the entire movie comes right after that happens, because I think it's just funny because the fat cop, who's cowardly, says to the detective, he's like, "We need to call people for help," and the detective's like, "We're the police. Who are we gonna call for help? We're the police." At least that is the only line of dialogue that makes sense in this entire movie.
Yeah. And guess who the next victim is?
But they didn't mention that this was an entire precinct of Dewey.
Oh, yes.
There is six Deweys in this precinct.
I would have to disagree. I would think this is Super Troopers. If you took the whole entire movie with the cast in it, shook it till they're all brain damaged, and then dropped them into this god-awful pile of shit.
I can't even believe that you just put Super Troopers and The Traveler together in the same sentence.
I'm talking about intellectual level. I'm definitely
I think
not
we just lost listeners.
I think we just did.
I think,
you know what? Fuck those guys.
I think the one guy that was downloading and listening to our podcast just shut it off. And
well, good for him. You know what? If you're a sensitive little pussy who thinks that, he compared Super Troopers to The Traveler, you know what? Fuck you. All right. So, well, before that they kill the fat cowardly cop, one of the things that I love is the flying zombie cat that comes out of nowhere and attacks the fat cop's face.
Yes. Flying zombie cat.
Yes. This is a new concept and I think should be used in every single movie.
The flying zombie cat?
Flying zombie cats. They come out of nowhere.
All right.
And they attack your face.
I'm
They're
listening.
Dead. They're dead. Or they claw at you and they don't turn you into a zombie. I don't know why. But it's a flying zombie cat.
Dude, I think there was place in this movie for a flying zombie cat.
Well, they put it in there.
They fucking
shoehorned it in that
fucking
movie.
It can only stand to make the movie better at that point.
Oh, Jesus Christ. You know what made this movie better? A fire. A giant fire.
On the set? Like a real one?
When you put
that burned down the entire set so the movie couldn't happen?
I think the movie would be better if when you put it in the DVD player, it actually burns your house down. That would make everything better. But, after Fatty Cop gets killed by hanging, and apparently the rope is long enough to hang his body right in front of the interrogation room.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Of course, they have to have the overcast right there.
They have to, of course. Yeah. It's just Fatty just swinging in the wind with no rain. Oh, wait, no, now there's rain. They start realizing, one of them starts realizing that, they start realizing that something's wrong. Now, the whole entire
premise. He asks Val Kilmer, how are you doing this? Which, how do you even come to that conclusion? He's sitting in this room talking to you.
There's a lot of breaking of the fourth wall in this fucking movie. People freaking out because things are happening that they have absolutely no idea about. It's great. He's swinging, and they start realizing that this guy has something to do with an incident that happened before. Now, let's talk about this awesome incident that would never happen anywhere ever.
Come
unless
on.
It was 1950 and Val Kilmer was black.
You don't think cops act like this? No.
I honestly don't think that in an interrogation room where the lead detective daughter was kidnapped and they find a guy at the scene, they bring him into an interrogation room or a cell. It's pretty much an interrogation room at that point in time.
Yeah.
They string him up by a rope, put a plastic bag on his head, beat him in the face with their fists and shovels, and then proceed to stab him with a pen.
Yes, that was a very important pen.
It was a very, very important pen, and we'll get to that, because in all honesty, I like where the detective went with that. He was a genius about this. Seriously, if we have more detectives like that, crime rate would skyrocket. So, that's pretty much how they preface that whole entire scenario, is the fact that he, the whole entire group of people that just happened to be there at the same time, they beat pretty much the shit out of this guy. And
well, yeah, they beat him into a coma, and then eventually he dies, and
as soon as he dies, he comes back as Val Kilmer.
Right, but all the while, they had thought that he was innocent. He was the wrong guy.
Oh, we're giving it away.
Oh, my bad. So he is the wrong guy. So now he's this heretic. He's, I don't know if that's the right word. He's come back from the dead to seek vengeance, is what you were led to believe, because he was an innocent soul who was killed by these six cops.
Now, can I say, I was watching this movie, and I found it very difficult to focus on this, because on a separate TV, the Weather Channel was on, and I found that far more interesting to find out what kind of weather was going on in Syracuse than what was going on in this god-awful movie.
I think I was more interested in watching The Dark Wall next to my TV than finishing this movie out.
I'm pretty sure that would have been far more interesting than the Weather Channel, but yes, anything is more interesting than this movie.
I will say, the reason I originally watched this movie, because I watched it on the whim before I had picked it for my bad movie to counteract you.
You honestly thought it was a good movie, didn't you?
Well, did you read the description before you read it?
Yeah.
Because the description sounded really cool.
Mr. Nobody. Was,
no, it did not say anything like that.
No, it did. That's the one I saw.
No, it did not. The description was just a man walks in to a police station and admits to 6 murders that haven't taken place yet. So that's the description, and I'm like, oh, cool, this is going to be kind of like 7. It'll be a nice psychological psycho movie with a real killer, and then my PlayStation 3 just vomited into my TV, and Val Kilmer came out playing Zombie Jesus Batman. And
fuck Val Kilmer. You know, the last good role that I ever saw him in was Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
He's got a... No,
and
really,
he was less gay
in
that
Tombstone
movie.
Tombstone was his last good movie.
You think so?
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, and he was less gay in that movie than he was in this one.
Tombstone was his last good movie and probably his only good movie, in my opinion.
Oof, I don't know.
That's my opinion of Val Kilmer.
We'll argue that one later.
Yeah. Can we not?
Please. So the movie keeps going on, and the wife cop and the husband cop decide to leave to do something. I wasn't paying attention to plot.
They went to go
a...
find the state troopers. And that is, that's beer number 4, folks, if you're drinking along at home.
Yeah, please. You're going to need more than us. Don't catch up. Surpass us.
And we got sake. Just to set the mood, just so you know where we're at.
Yeah, you need to be drunk to watch these pieces of shit.
Or even listen to them.
No,
listen.
Seriously.
I don't even know what I'm saying anymore.
Yeah, you really don't.
Movie has got me so flustered I can't even talk.
All right, so like I said, they drive out to find the state cops, apparently, and the state cop has been... They can't find them. The car is apparently out in the woods.
Yeah, their car's in the woods with the lights going off.
And there's this creepy song by Mozart or Beethoven or one of those fucking old curmudgeons that used to make classical music, some death symphony, and it's being whistled on the wind. So husband cop says, "You stay here, I'll come back." And he walks out into the woods and proceeds to be shoveled to death. By
that was actually, you know what, that was my favorite death
scene. That was pretty much badass.
That was a good death scene. If you make it this far in the movie, watch that scene, and then just turn the movie off.
It's not
getting any better.
It doesn't even redeem the fucking crap that you saw.
No, it doesn't redeem anything, but that was a cool death scene.
But it's
so,
like 30 minutes into the movie.
To be watching this movie, you are watching this movie at some point in your life, and you make it to the shovel scene, and the shovel scene is over, shut the movie off.
Or you can continue watching to watch the wife die, which is probably one of the most asinine deaths in existence. Now!
Yeah, well, I mean, just jump to that. She drives back.
She drives back, driving while woman, which is actually an offense if I'm correct.
I will say, the only true part of this movie was watching her drive.
Oh, yeah, because she drives hysterically. My husband died! And she can't stay on the road. And then proceeds to crash.
Well, I don't think that has anything to do with it. I think the problem with her driving is just that she has a vagina and she's driving.
Yeah, that's true.
So
being a woman is hard because, you know, you can't drive. You just can't drive.
Cannot do it.
No, it doesn't work.
If you're an Asian woman,
oh Jesus,
just give up.
Just give up.
Just give up.
Or join demolition.
Get a bicycle. Or some rollerblades.
That's still dangerous.
Or a razor scooter.
Oof. It has the word razor in it. You can kill someone with that.
Anything but a minivan.
All right. So she gets back to the precinct, and the two cops are standing outside smoking a cigarette. And, calmly, of course. Why wouldn't they be?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you know, after half the fucking people that were there are dead, let's just smoke a cigarette and talk this over. What's going on? Let's see Val Kilmer in there. Oh, and another hilarious thing that happens is as a husband cop is getting shoveled to death, they break the fourth wall and somehow perceive that this is actually going on, that he's getting shoveled to death, and run away. And you know what they run away and leave there? A shotgun, leaning up against the cell, in arm's reach of Val Kilmer. And as the woman runs away from her husband after he's been shoveled to death, she leaves her shotgun in the woods.
Well, we learn that shotguns can't kill him anyways.
Yeah, but shotguns can kill them, and if Val Kilmer really wanted to, he'd just put a couple of rounds in them and just call it a day. But he doesn't. No,
well, I think the movie would... of course that doesn't happen. The movie would be great if it just... Kilmer picked up the shotgun and shot the 3 remaining cops and the movie was over.
That'd be fantastic.
Unfortunately, it goes on for another, like, 40 minutes.
All right. So they say, well, we got to get this police car out of this whatever red vehicle that she decided to crash into because she's a woman.
Right.
And she gets in the driver's seat. Another bad idea.
This is what I don't get. Hold on.
Oh, no.
Because up to this point.
Oh, no.
And even after this point. I mean, and even later, it makes less sense. And who the hell is Val Kilmer talking to make this happen? Because doesn't he? Haven't we been under the assumption that he has to be confessing the murder that's happening while it's happening?
Yeah.
Who the hell is he confessing to at this point?
He's confessing to the radio. Didn't you hear it? He's talking over the radio.
Oh, yes, he is. He is talking over the radio.
I'm sorry I had to correct you there, but I just want to keep moving on to the amazing scene that comes up next.
All right.
What happens next is she's in the vehicle, and she starts, tries to start it up. It doesn't start, of course. It's a horror movie vehicle. They're never reliable.
No, any vehicle or cell phone will not work.
She pops the hood, the two of them look under, and they do the good old-fashioned man trick where they look at it for about 5 seconds and then say, try it again!
Yeah, let's look at our damage together.
Yeah, they stare at it, try it again. She starts it. They didn't do anything to it, and it still doesn't start.
It's then, still not working.
And then he starts confessing his sin, his next murder. Val Kilmer says that he's going to something, 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 blonde bitch die. And and you cut scene to the fact that she is actually putting the plastic... No, she's staring, like literally staring in the hood, hearing this, horrified. And she looks like just like a horrified female cop behind the wheel. And they cut scene to her putting the plastic bag over the drifter's head, what they did in the past, which was the horrible thing that ended up with this whole entire scenario
right,
happening.
So we know where this goes. He kind of kills each of those people the way...
Oh, no, he does not. Oh, trust me. They break that law.
well, up to now.
Up to now.
That is what you're led to believe, that each way he was wronged by these cops is the way he's killing them.
And now they start bringing in magic. Now, they don't say that they brought in magic, but I believe that there's some magic abound.
What do you mean they brought in magic just now? Like, Val Kilmer is dodging bullets somehow.
If before it was supernatural, now it's magic.
Oh, now it's magic.
Now it's magic. Because as soon as the cutscene ends, she's got a bag on her head. No one knows how it happened, but she's screaming in the bag, right? Now, she's got her head in the bag, she's screaming, she's freaking out. And now I watch these two cops proceed to beat the windshield with billy clubs.
Until they broke their billy club.
And then I'm screaming at, why not pull out your gun and shoot out the back window?
Oh, but they do.
Oh, yeah. Shotguns and handguns, they unload rounds into this vehicle.
These are the best bulletproof windows
any vehicle
ever.
In the history of
Army,
ever.
The Army does not even have this technology.
Seriously?
Nobody has this technology.
This little fucking bumpkin town has this technology. It's
yes,
great.
Only this town.
So they're firing into this vehicle, and she's gasping for air, and the bag is getting tighter and tighter, and she doesn't think to take her finger and go and poke a hole in the bag so she could breathe. Oh, no, of course not. Why would she do that? She's a woman. She's stupid.
She's busy trying to get the bag off of her head with her hands.
She's
well, I think you were supposed to believe that her hands were, being held down or something.
No, she had her hands like this around her neck. She
yeah,
actually,
I think you were supposed to believe that they were held down.
I believe that this movie's a piece of shit. Okay, so continuing on, because we're wasting time,
yeah.
Like I did with watching that movie. She is desperately trying, and then they do a cutscene away to the windshield that is impenetrable. And blood is spurting for no apparent reason at
this
the windshield.
This is the worst. We went right from the best death. Right to the worst.
And she's bleeding. I don't know where she's bleeding from.
No, that's what I remember thinking that. I'm seeing this blood hit the windshield. I'm like, did her fucking head explode from a bag? Like, what happened?
All right, and I wasn't even thinking that. I'm just like, what is going on? Is she, clawing at her face to get it off? No. The windshield covers with blood, and then the door opens, and her head rolls off. There is such a thing as a magical bag that asphyxiates and then decapitates.
It was a garrote.
Yeah, of course. It was a garrote bag. They sell them at Market Basket. They're 2 for $10. They're fantastic. I've
Absolutely.
Used them before.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're great for preserving turkeys in the freezer. They don't get freezer burn. They're magical.
Yeah, and they cut themselves.
They're magical. Yeah,
yes.
Exactly. If you need to cut
a frozen turkey in half.
You just put half the turkey in there and then say, Val Kilmer, and it will kill the turkey dead.
Three times. You have to say it three times.
Three times.
In the mirror with the lights out.
Yes, of course.
That's
another good movie. So let's continue on with our.
Oh, must we?
Oh, we really shouldn't.
Oh, okay.
To the next death, where the last officer is the one that is the goody two shoes, not the husband, not the wife. He's the one that actually just normal. The only normal police officer on the force.
Right, yeah.
And he runs into the cell that Val Kilmer's in, doesn't find him, and Val Kilmer jumps out of nowhere.
Well, no, didn't he go down there to try and shoot him?
Oh, yeah, he unloaded just like oh, yeah, and that was another thing. The detective unloaded a handgun into Val Kilmer, the fucking Mr. Nobody.
They cut Val Kilmer's off screen and they show you shooting, and then
he comes
and then they come back and Val Kilmer's like not there,
and then just like jumps up the side like, and here's the last of my story.
So why were you still shooting? Like, I don't get it.
Well, that's because these people are stupid and they close their eyes when they shoot.
All right, anyway, it's this guy's death.
Yeah, he jumps in the cell, he unloads his shotgun into the cell, and then he goes into the cell, Val Kilmer ambushes him from nowhere, and proceeds to kill him the exact same way that he treated this guy. Now, that is a lie, because what happened was that this normal police officer punched him repeatedly in the stomach and in the face. And would Val Kilmer punch him till he dies? Oh, no. No, 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 no. He disembowels him, which completely breaks the cycle of how exactly he was killing everybody. Because I'm pretty sure I have gotten into a fight, and I punched someone, and one blow to the stomach disemboweled a dude. Right?
Really?
Have you done that before?
Oh, I was there when you did that.
Yeah.
I was.
And one of the greatest part about this movie is they follow Mortal Kombat logic, where... the fatalities, whereas you punch someone and they explode into 7 rib cages, 3 spines, 4 heads, and just skeletons all over the fucking place. It's like you punched one person and they turned into 7 dead people. And that's what this movie went about.
That is a punch of doom.
It really is. I would love to be able to punch one person and kill 7 people.
I mean, are we really going to... Are we going to nitpick about the directing of this movie at this point? This far into the movie, we're going
to
start.
Oh, we have to, because this person deserves a beating.
As soon as this was green-lighted somewhere in Hollywood, it should have been it should have been picked apart.
Seriously. The detective is the last one standing, and he runs out of the precinct, running away from Val Kilmer, and Val Kilmer's like, you can't escape me, murderer. And then he decides to run into a bar, which immediately dimension doors him back to the fucking... the precinct, and
right.
Then,
I know that was the. I was like, yes, finally, this is the payoff. He's going into a strip joint. We're gonna see some tits.
No.
We're back in the precinct.
We are back in the precinct.
Like, not only is Val Kilmer a zombie Jesus Batman, he can also just like bend
time and
all of reality, and made this guy run back into the precinct.
Of course,
and
it's Silent Hill 1.5,
and there's no boobs.
No boobs whatsoever.
There's no boobs.
So,
I'm sorry, I spoiled the fact that there was no boobs. Everybody just shut the movie
off. The movie's spoiled in general. So, he magically teleports back to the precinct, and Val Kilmer's standing in front of him saying, you can't escape me, yada, yada, yada. I'm going to tell you about my my next final confession. I killed. And here is the officer, the detective's actual name. Alexander Black. Really?
He's a genius. This next scene makes him a genius.
Fantastic. Well, if I can't hear it, then it didn't happen. So he takes his pen that his daughter gave him and crams it into both of his ears.
I think that was symbolism for this is the point in the movie when you're supposed to stick something into both of your eyeballs.
This was the Rock and Horror Picture Show. There'd be a lot of deaf people. after that whole entire scenario happens, I don't know how he escaped. Like I said, I was distracted by the Weather Channel. Somehow he makes it out.
Oh, well, what happens is, yeah, he runs away as he's trying to confess, and he runs into his office, and he gets under his desk, and his daughter's ghost zombie cat comes in, and then you see the daughter under there with him.
And she's talking to him.
And this is the climax.
And he can hear her!
No, hold on. This...
Oh, no, I want to say it.
Do you want the climax? Go ahead. You get the climax. Go. Because, okay. I mean...
Oh, well, first...
We're going to fight about it because this is just the best climax
We forgot about the fact that Val Kilmer confesses that he is a kid toucher. Yes, Val Kilmer confesses that he is a kid toucher.
Oh, yeah.
In this movie.
Which is why... Which is It just switches everything around.
Yeah, he was
this
innocent.
This whole entire time, you're like, oh, he's innocent. He's taking vengeance from the grave. At least the plot line makes sense. And then he's like, ha ha, I did it.
What?
And like, so how do you get to come back and have vengeance against...
Because
like,
he was in a coma and he was living in his own personal hell and he needed to take it out. So when he died, it was just his soul.
He's getting revenge on people who got revenge on him. Like, I don't even... This is just an endless cycle that goes around?
Yeah, it is.
So, like, are these five cops going to come back and just torment Val Kilmer?
It was pretty much Val Kilmer and the director doing a 96 and just shitting on the back of each other's heads. As far
right, as I have to say, as we're coming to the climax, there is a reason we kept calling Val Kilmer's character Val Kilmer this entire time. Is because this is the climax. Ready, go. Nappy, take it away.
Are we talking about Val Kilmer's exploding telekinesis powers?
No, his weakness. This is how you get rid of Val Kilmer, right here.
Yeah, you say his name. The name of the killer.
Stanley Humperdinck. What a dreadful name.
His name was Chuck Wagon.
It was
his name was Barry Finkeldirk.
I can't even take it seriously anymore. Like, that is so bad. You have to say his name, and then his daughter whispers the name into his ear. And, like, I don't even care if his name was something a little bit better.
His name was Bill Kerserfelkopf.
Some people call me Tim. It was like that type of a moment, but they were serious.
Name was Bob the Killer.
They should have had a bunch of dark music come down and be like, ooh, and like had him give a long speech.
My name was Uncle Paul.
I have no idea. This is the guy's weakness. How do you get rid of him this entire time? You say Stanley Humperdinck.
Stanley Humperdinck. Stanley Humperdinck. And then shoot him in the chest with a shotgun.
Because he can't dodge bullets after you say his name.
No, because he's ashamed of his name. He doesn't want anyone to know who he is. I'd be ashamed of my name if my name was Stanley Humperdinck, too. I'd shoot myself if my name was Stanley Humperdinck.
So that's the climax of the movie.
If your name is Stanley Humperdinck, you should probably shoot yourself right now.
Movie over. That is how that movie ended. So let's just...
Ass cancer. Pure ass cancer.
All right, let's go. A scale of 1 to 10. How many zombie Jesuses do you give this movie?
Is zombie Jesus a good thing or a bad thing?
Zombie Jesus represents Easter, so it's a good thing. The more zombie Jesus, the better.
I give it 7 eggs and an Easter bunny getting sodomized by Santa.
All right, well, that's not a numeric value.
Whatever, it doesn't matter. This movie doesn't give you
That rating made about as much sense as this movie.
It sure did.
If I had to honestly give this movie a rating, I would give it... 2
thumbs in the ass.
2 zombie Jesuses out of 10.
2? Really?
I've seen worse.
Is it because it actually made it to production that you give it 2? Oh, Jesus Christ.
Not even that it made it production. Your movie made it to production, which we're going to go over next.
Oh, dear God.
So, all right, now we've come to our a new section in our podcast where we're going to actually pit our villains against each other. So last week we went over The Shining. The villain will be Jack Torrance.
Mm-hmm.
And the first movie we covered tonight was The Traveler. And the villain there would be Stanley Humperdinck.
I thought it was Jizz Guzzle McGillicuddy.
So, if we threw these guys into a match to the death...
Now, the question is, does Jack Torrance know his name? Because that just defeats the entire purpose.
I mean... He has The Shining, I think. I mean, we went over that last week.
He does have The Shining, so that'd be
unfair. Who knows? Let's just... Crazy Jack Torrance is in a room with an axe against...
Mr.
Nobody.
Mr. Nobody. Let's call him Mr. Nobody, because I really don't even want to know his
fucking
real name. There
you go. Round one, ding, ready, go. Find it out.
All right. Mr. Nobody... raises his finger, points to him, and explodes him like a precinct door.
So you're given this to Mr. Nobody.
But the thing is that it's not exactly how it would work. Did Jack Torrance wrong Mr. Nobody? Because Jack Torrance...
No. We're not bringing logic into this.
Oh, we're not?
We're not bringing any type of logic. It's they're in a cage. They can't get out of this fucking cage until one of them's dead. Jack Torrance versus Mr. Nobody. Set, go.
All right, Jack Torrance charges Mr. Nobody, and since we're not using logic, just like the movie The Traveler did, he's immediately teleported into a precinct for no reason whatsoever, and then is forced to jab a pen in his ear. Is that how we're going?
I have to say, I think, unfortunately, I mean, because we can't do this by which is the better movie, because that would be The Shining all day, every day.
Yes.
So we're just kind of pitting them against each other, and you have Jack Torrance, who's just kind of possessed and crazy, and then you have Mr. Nobody, who can dodge bullets and kill people with words. So I think, unfortunately, this bout is going to have to go
to Mr.
to
Nobody.
Mr. Nobody.
Jack Torrance, I am so sorry. You deserve to win this.
But he will. Jack Torrance will be back.
Yes, he will.
Once we reach 10 movies, we'll go back and we'll throw all 10 of those villains into a room.
Now, Shelley Duvall versus Mr. Nobody. Do you think Mr. Nobody would claw his eyes out after seeing that horse-faced cranny?
That's an interesting fact.
I would think so.
Who knows? But we're not going to get there.
I wouldn't kill
so
her.
So we're going to take a brief intermission before we get into the second movie.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll play some music here. Enjoy. back, and we went over The Traveler first, and now we are going to go over Nappy's pick.
House of the Dead.
And as you heard, we're on beer number 11. Beer, yeah, 11 billion, if you're drinking along at home again.
I've only had 3.
And we also are drinking a little bit of sake.
Yeah.
So, now we're going to go over House of the Dead,
mm-hmm.
which was Nappy's pick.
Oh, yes.
For a horrible movie this week.
Oh,
and
fantastic.
I will say, it is a horrible movie.
Why would you think it's a horrible movie? I think it's fantastic.
I had seen this movie previous to you saying that this was the one we were going to review this week.
And I love the fact that you watched it again.
And I completely forgot how terrible this movie was.
But it was great. There were great plot. It was great cinematography. It was fantastic casting.
Are
the
you
special
kidding
effects
me?
Are, all right, I am.
The Sega, the cutaways to the 16-bit. I can't even handle it.
That was the only special effects that actually were good in that movie. Were 16-bit Sega cutaways.
So this movie, directed by Yu Ball.
Oh, yeah.
Which is great, because this movie is balls.
Oh, he makes other fantastic movies. Please watch The Postman, Blood Rain, or Alone in the Dark.
You're kidding me. He directed more than this?
Yes, he did. Blood Rain and Alone in the Dark, where the great actress, Tara Reid, plays a scientist who ties everything together intellectually.
And
with words like the and.
I have absolutely no faith in Hollywood at all.
Oh, this guy is a fantastic director, and I hope he makes more movies so I may piss down his fucking throat.
So, this is a movie based on a video game.
Yeah, like all of his movies.
Which, most movies based on video games are just terrible to begin with. There's a few that are done well.
Mortal Kombat,
the first one was done well. I think the first Silent Hill was...
That was good. You gotta admit.
It was good. It wasn't great. It was... It's something I'm happy that I rented and watched.
How about the first Street Fighter, huh? That was great. It was Van Damme. Holy shit. Could I possibly take a shit larger than that? I don't think so.
So this was... this came out, you know, around the time when everybody was trying to take video games, this big media, and turn them into movies.
That failed.
Unfortunately, nobody told this guy that you're not supposed to take footage from the video game, the Sega 16-bit video game, or 32-bit, or whatever it is, video game, and put it into your movie, because he did.
I'm still waiting for a Crash Bandicoot video game movie. I really am. I think it'll actually be good.
Well, maybe they can get U-Ball to direct that for you.
Will it be a horror movie?
It'll probably be a horror movie.
Yeah, horrible.
It'll just... The one thing that I will say about this movie over The Traveler is at least you had the gratuitous tit shots. Like, all the time.
That's the redeeming factor.
That is the only reason to watch this movie. And it's... And
giant Asian boobs. They're great.
There's better movies to watch with tits.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, let's be honest.
Porn.
If you're listening to this podcast, you have a computer, so you can do a lot better than this.
Oh, yes. Yes, granny porn, midget porn, horse blowing a cow porn.
All right, so let's get into this movie. Fade in, and you're voicing. You have a voiceover of the 40-year-old raver. He's pretty much the guy that your mother warned you about. If you're a girl, this is the one, because he's graying and he's going to raves and he's definitely
raping people.
Roofying drinks.
No, I guess.
And taping it. So he's voicing it all over and telling you about the characters and what they are, who they are.
God.
And it's Greg. Greg is the athlete. His girlfriend is the eye candy. And what's the dumb one's name? I don't remember his name.
All of them?
Yeah. So... The plot line is there's this giant, amazing rave taking place on an island. I have no idea how they're getting electricity out there on this haunted island. But anyways, that's this movie's, that is the least of this movie's problems.
There's a generator.
So,
magical.
Yes. Okay. They have a magical generator. They have the same nuclear plant that Jack Torrance had.
Oh, yes.
So there's this giant rave taking place on this island. It's supposed to be the party of the century, the best party that ever took place ever.
And what was the name of the island again?
The island?
Wasn't it the Isla del Muerte?
Are you talking about when the GIMP starts saying it?
Oh, was it the GIMP?
Well, yeah. Right when you get to the boat, they're like, all right, it's time to bring in the GIMP. And they have the guy in his raincoat. It's not raining. And this movie is so bad. I can't even believe
it. I wear raincoats often and frequently when it's nothing but sunny out.
I always keep on my person an emergency poncho. If somebody has a heart attack, I just take out my emergency poncho because it's an emergency. So
it really is.
Put it on. And that that solves the situation.
It sure does.
That story made more sense than this movie.
Yes.
Anyways, so there's this giant party going on. These guys missed the boat by 15 minutes. Somehow.
Really, 15 minutes?
15 minutes. They picked up a flyer. The flyer said the boat leaves at 5 o'clock exactly. And they're like, it's 5:15. Oh, no. What do we do? And then the voiceover comes back over and they're like, they should have just stayed in Seattle.
There was a little precursor telling them that you really shouldn't go to this island. Oh, wait. There might have been. Hold on. Continue.
There was like 80 precursors telling you you should not go to this island.
Really?
Yes.
Were they ones that they could see or were they ones that were just, you know... That we could
as soon as they try and bribe the captain of the boat, the GIMP comes out and is like, we're not going there.
Is that what he said?
Yeah, the GIMP. He should have been dressed in all leather. They should have got the guy that they pulled out of the box in Pulp Fiction that was all in leather to come play this part, because that's how I feel about it.
Yeah, that guy's actually pretty hideous.
So they're... All right, they miss the boat.
Yeah.
They find and charter another boat.
Mm-hmm.
They have to pay $1,000 to this guy to go to this haunted island that he knows is haunted.
Yeah. It's haunted.
He knows there's demons there. He knows.
Things and stuff.
Yeah, he knows. So they pay him $1,000, and he's like, meh, I'll go. And then at the same time, they're trying to get docked by the cops, who are the worst cops ever. Yeah. Not even ever. Like, I can't even say the worst cops ever.
They're like Coast Guards without boats.
This chartered boat.
You stop doing things
got
and
pulled
stuff.
Over while docked. It's like if a cop came up and pulled you over while you're in a parking spot and like walking out of Target. That's what happened.
I would so totally just drive away and watch this cop go, get up and do it, you pussy!
Well, good for you, because that's exactly what happened. They just drove away.
Really?
Yeah, they just drove away.
Yeah.
And the cops were like, hey! Hey, stop! Hey, don't do that.
Stuff.
And they were like, all right, yeah. And they just drove away. So now they're on their way to this haunted island. The cops are tailing behind them.
Yeah.
And more horrible voiceovers happen.
Oh, yeah.
So they get there. They dock. They get to the island.
16-bit cut.
Oh, no, wait. I'm sorry. They don't get to the island before shit starts getting serious.
Really?
Oh, yeah. No, you have Matt, and I don't even remember the girl's name. This is your first tit shot right here.
Oh, it was fantastic.
It was Matt and
tits.
Girl who gets naked.
Tits.
Yeah, I don't think she has.
Tits number one.
Yes. Boobs number one. So she wants to go swimming, and she gets in there, and it's too cold for Matt. So Matt goes and lays on the beach while she goes swimming, and then you have, like, the Jaws scene where they're just coming at her legs from under the water, but nothing happens. It's just a bunch of bubbles.
I wonder what it would be like to get fingered by a zombie.
And somewhere in this 30 seconds that she's swimming, it at the same time cuts away to Matt, and Matt takes a nap. And then in the next scene, Matt's not there. Like, he falls asleep, and then he's just not there. In 30 seconds. In all of 30 seconds, this happens.
Movie magic. When you go to sleep, you teleport to a... Have you seen Narnia?
So she gets out of the water because the bubbles are freaking her out. And she gets onto the beach and she's like, Matt, where are you? Because he disappeared. Without any of his clothes, shoes, or beer.
Yes. I'm waiting for a horror movie that incorporates spontaneous combustion and actually makes it scary. I don't think it could possibly ever happen, but spontaneous combustion should be in a movie.
Anything can happen.
Yeah, of course. We'll continue with the movie. We'll emphasize
I mean, anything can happen. Yes. All right, so you get that scene just to know that shit just got real on the island.
Oh, yeah.
And now they are all arrive at the island. They dock, they get off the boat, and then it shows the cops coming up behind them, and the cops are like, I know where they're going to dock. Let's dock as far away as possible from that on the other side of the island.
I would do the same thing.
So some good police work right there.
Oh, yeah.
So, that was just basically a setup so that later on the cops can show up.
I don't think they actually show up, do they?
Yeah, the girl does.
Oh, yeah. Well,
the female cop. Yeah. So now all of these kids, the three girls, two guys, are on the island, and they find the rave party scene, and it's deserted. No one's there, but there's a full keg. So, you know, what does anyone do
party!
when Woo! The whole place is deserted yeah. at the party of the year, and there's bloody shit all on the ground? My first instinct is find
the
keg.
They drank the water.
Find the keg.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the bloody shit. I was like, well, if there's bloody shit all over the ground, then somebody drank the
water. There was bloody shit. Like, the girl picked up a bloody shirt, and she was like, I don't know what's happening. Can I have a beer?
I've done that before. Then again, I know why the blood's there. It's we'll not get into that. Continue.
We went over The Shining last week.
Yes, we did.
Anyways.
There's an elevator door out in the distance.
All right, so they're at this deserted island.
Yeah.
And they're drinking, and they're having a great time. And then the jock guy and the dumb blonde start making out. So they're like, this seems like a really good time to split up. So they leave the girl, the jock, and the girl together, who is, Greg, and I have no idea what her name is. Greg and the dumb blonde.
Yeah.
They get left at the rave scene, and the other guys go off to explore the island.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're exploring the island, they find a graveyard and a creepy house, and, of course, they're like, well, let's go in and check this out.
I do it.
Nothing can go wrong here.
Ever.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Greg is trying to get it on with his
thing
with his girlfriend,
yeah.
but he can't get it up yeah. because he has to pee.
Of course.
So he goes out to pee.
That's an excuse.
Yes. Yes. He went out to take his little blue pill, but he actually used that he had to pee. So he goes out to pee.
Went out and tugged it to another dude.
And then you have zombies attacking the tent. And then it cuts away. So that's what happens there.
Yeah.
You have no idea what's going on. Greg's peeing. The tent is getting attacked. And it goes back to the other people.
Well, at least they remained oblivious and did not break the fourth wall. It's...
Oh, no. They break the fourth wall.
They do?
Oh, absolutely.
Really?
Not far from now.
Explain!
Yeah, oh, yeah. So they're checking out this creepy graveyard / house. And then, dun-dun, they get attacked by zombies. Who... What a thunk it.
Were they really zombies?
Yeah, they were zombies.
Oh, really? I thought they were just people that were just angry.
Yeah, there were people that were raving, and they were mad that they showed up and drank a little bit of their beer.
I would do the same thing, too.
That's what I look like when I get angry.
It was a zombie flash mob.
So they're getting attacked by zombies. They get away, and they get away by the female cop showing up and shooting them. So then they head back to camp
God.
To see what's going on there.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. They found creepy camera guy.
Oh, yeah, they met up with...
Pedophile, Liberty, the Asian chick.
Yeah.
And some other dude.
Yeah.
So they met up with them, and they formed a party.
If I'm going to die, I'm going to fuck the Asian chick. I'm sorry. I'm like, look, we're going to die. Can I just toss my dog in you?
Are you kidding me? The Asian chick is badass, but we'll get into that.
No, she's not.
No, she's really not, but she thinks she is.
No, she really thinks she does.
Yes. So then they go back. They're like, we're not getting off this island without our friends that we left all by themselves back at camp with an island full of zombies. We have to go back and get them.
Fuck them.
So they go back to the rave scene, and they find a tipped over latrine, latrine. A porter potty.
A shitter.
Depending where you are in this country, whatever you want to call it.
A loo.
Yeah. One of those carnival bathroom outlets. Yeah. Tipped over. And banging around, so they tip it over, and out comes Greg, rolling, covered in shit.
Yeah.
And he's like, what's going on? I went to pee, and I got knocked over, and I'm dumb. And I'm covered in poop.
Which is absolutely...
I just acted better than he did.
Right
there. That's Hollywood. My name's Todd. You can reach me through the email attached to this podcast.
And my name's Matthew.
And I can be in anything you would like me to be in. Better than...
I would gladly take $50 for you to do something horrific to me. like, put me in a Val Kilmer movie.
All right, so, oh my god, my head hurts from this. My head hurts.
It should, because it gets worse. But wait, there's more. All
right, so, and this point, this is the point where the people you're familiar with start turning into zombies, because the blonde chick attacks the nameless guy, snaps his neck.
Yeah.
And then gets a bullet in the brain.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she gets, so she's dead, and this is where they realize shit just got real.
No, it didn't. And nothing got real because things get dumber. Oh, it gets
so they're
dumber.
Like, let's get back to our boat, which our boat has to be fine because these zombies wouldn't go to our boat, right?
No, they wouldn't.
Absolutely not. So let's get to the boat. They go to the boat.
Can I emphasize on the fact that apparently the zombies walk across the bottom of the water to get to said boat? Which yes. let's put a reference here. The boat is floating in the water. 10 feet of the boat is underwater. And I'm probably guessing that maybe 30 feet between the bottom of the boat and the bottom of the lake. Now, when the zombies are walking in the water, for some weird reason, they're on the bottom of the water, but can swim.
All right. Well, you're using logic, which is your first mistake right now.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I apologize.
Right. So the boat is under attack when they arrive, and this is where you have your first giant standoff scene. Where it's,
fuck me running.
Everybody in your party, you learn, is an expert marksman and a kung fu master. Just all of a sudden they are.
Oh, kind of like a Scott Pilgrim, right?
They're like, they're shaking in their boots the entire time, and then the zombies attack them with bad techno music. and they're like, wait a minute, I forgot that I'm an expert marksman and I know kung fu.
Whenever I hear bad techno music, I just want to shoot people in the head, and I'm fucking great at it. I really am.
Yeah.
And absolutely. I can roundhouse kick and backflip, and I'm 350 pounds of just fat.
I'm just saying, like, just because there's an Asian in the woods with you doesn't mean everybody needs to know kung fu.
I would love reality to set in and all of them face plant and then get eaten.
So, the dumb guy, I can't remember his name for a life of me.
W. McDumdum?
Yeah, whatever. He decides he's going to try and swim to the boat with all the zombies on it.
Oh, this was great. Yeah, I like this part.
Yeah, where he jumps into the water, and all the while he's running down the dock, they're like, no, don't do it. And he's like, fuck that. Jumps in the water.
We also forgot about the part where the Gimp and the Captain are fighting off the zombies on the boat.
Yeah, I don't even care about that part.
No one really does.
So anyways, he's trying to get to the boat, and of course the water is filled with zombies that were trying to attack the boat earlier.
Yes, and then see his supple ass.
And the cop and the captain of the boat are like picking off zombies, shooting at them to save this kid, which I would have just let him die.
But how did the captain get ashore when the captain...
No, he was on the boat at this point, like picking him off with a rifle.
Oh,
in
yes.
The water, in the water. And, no, we'll get to how the captain teleports with a box after... Oh, no, he doesn't teleport with the box. The box is already on shore.
Yes.
So, anyways...
With all the weapons in the video
game. This is the best part where the Asian chick, Liberty, mm-hmm. armed with a knife that came out of nowhere. She just found a knife in the middle of the woods.
She pulled it out of her tits.
They must have had that giant fucking knife to cut limes for the Coronas. That's the only thing I can think of.
I'm thinking that they used a line to cut holes in the plot.
So... She grabs this knife and charges into the water like, I will save you, and of course goes horribly wrong.
Oh, yeah.
And they have to save her. She kills, like, one zombie just so you think she's badass for 2 seconds.
Yeah. And then quickly swamped.
Yeah. So you have the cop lady and the captain shooting off zombies and shit. And eventually the techno music stops, thank God, and they regroup, get on shore together, and the captain busts open his box of supplies of Cuban cigars and Tommy guns, shotguns, machetes, and right, everything that you would need for a zombie attack, he just keeps on them.
We skipped over a very important part of the plot.
There is no important part in this movie.
We are talking about sexy Mick model dude.
The creeper? The level 3 dude?
Yes, the level 3 dude. The one who is actually a model. And now what happens is... They're looking at a zombie, and it's on the ground, and they're like, well, this guy isn't all that badass and whatnot.
Oh, this is where he gets acid spit in his face?
Yes, because zombies apparently now spit acid.
Yeah.
They leveled up.
So, yeah, whatever.
So now he's no longer pretty.
Yeah, I have no idea what that has to do with the movie. I have no idea what most of this has to do with
actually,
the movie.
Actually, it has a lot to do with the movie.
Does that come into play later? Because,
sure does. All
right, we'll get there then. Because I'll tell you when I stopped paying attention to this movie. Because I did at one point.
As soon as you pressed play?
No, I had to pay attention a little bit so that I could say something.
Yeah, please.
This week.
Please.
And so, anyways, they regroup and they got this box of all kinds of guns and ammunition, and they're just like,
"Now, wait a minute!"
All of a sudden, they go. They have this badass scene where Rock is playing, and they're all like arming up and getting ready to go into battle.
Now, wait a minute. If I am correct, aren't these all the weapons that are available in the video game?
Probably.
Every single weapon that you could possibly get in the video game is in this box that apparently this captain smuggled on, but only one of each, on this island, and cigars.
Yes, and Cuban cigars.
Oh, yeah.
Because, of course.
Because he's the most badass captain.
Which, I mean, I looked in the box, I didn't see ammunition, so I'm guessing that it works just like the video game, and when they're off camera, they just click and they reload.
Yeah, exactly.
It's pretty much how it happens.
Oh, wait till the Matrix comes in. I love
that part. That's where we're coming up to.
Yes!
They regroup, and they're like, hey, we could put together a better stand if we get into that creepy house where everybody else died going into. And they're like, yeah, that's a great idea. So they get there. They're in front of the house. They're like 10 feet in front of the house.
No,
all the zombies start attacking with their bad techno music again.
Hold on, wait.
I'm not done with this scene. So they attack with their bad techno music.
Yes.
And then the team of people are like flying V formation and just gunning people down and kung fuing the zombies. And like it's a 20-minute scene for them to walk 10 feet to get there. All the while they have like the original Matrix scene where I don't even know why you have to jump in the air to shoot a shotgun. Doesn't even make sense to me.
She didn't even make it off the ground more than 6 inches.
No. She jumped up, bent her knee, and they're like, all right, freeze frame.
360.
Yeah, 360 time.
360 freeze frame and fire.
And then she pulls the trigger, and it's like, why did you have, like, the zombie was, like, 15 feet away from you, and you had to jump in the air and shoot your shotgun?
The reason why they had to do that is because they had to fill...
Well, no, all the while, they're, like, they're doing giving everybody the 360 scene. As they're just, like, standing there. Because everybody, you know, as everybody else was fighting the zombies, like, in the flying V formation, one at a time, they had to sit there and...
On the director's cut?
And just stand there.
On the director's cut, there's actually...
There's a fucking director's cut of this movie?
Yeah, in the director's cut, they actually have a dude on a toilet taking a shit, 360, freeze frame, as he drops a deuce. Yeah.
I can't even believe there's two versions of this movie.
Now, believe that if you want, but I think that is...
Oh, you made that up? I believed you for a second. That's where my faith in Hollywood went. So after this, after they once again thwarted off the zombies' attack of bad techno music...
It's very difficult, trust me.
Was this before... Oh, no, this was after...
Skrillex commanded an army of undead.
Yeah, this was after Greg and the cop went off into the woods. We lost Greg at this point. I'm sorry.
Christ.
Yeah, we lost Greg because Greg was given a gun and sent into the woods with the zombies. And when the zombies attacked with our bad techno music... Greg turned on his helmet camera and ran away, and that was it. Like, he died. That was the end of that.
Please.
So
that's how everyone should have died.
So they got. So now they've reached the 10-foot walk to this creepy house, and
the
they're flying V formation,
10-foot walk,
which took
existence.
20 minutes of this film, and they've reached that. And this is where I just kind of zoned out. I was taking notes. On this movie. I forgot my notebook, but I if I could show it to you, and I promise you, I'll show it to you next week.
It's
this is exactly
you
no, this is exactly what I was writing down on my notebook. Fuck you, Nappy. I hate you, Nappy. You suck, Nappy. And then it was at least 3 or 4 lines of all work and no play makes Todd a dull boy. Like, this is how bored I was at this point.
It's and a then, bad movie.
And then I came up with a list of like 10 things that I would rather be doing with my time than watching this goddamn movie.
We'll get to that. Don't worry.
Well, I don't have the notebook. I don't remember what they were. Well, there was we'll like there was some like I would take up crochet.
We'll come up with our own ideas of what we could do.
All right.
Now,
but I mean, we're running a little late. We gotta kind of wrap this movie up.
All right,
sorry that we're rushing this.
We'll speed through this, all right? They get into the house. Zombies are attacking, coming through the windows, yada, yada, yada. Fucking Captain Ahab takes something to the leg. I can't remember what happens. His leg gets hurt. They leave him on the table. He should have died. He does die. Fuck him. Zombies are barreling through the second room.
Saw that. He smoked a Cuban cigar. He went out with style.
Oh, yeah, he really did. They go through the second room, and there's a fucking basement. They can go in. They got to start a fire. I think there's a stick of dynamite. And this is where that whole entire thing where I went into the reiteration of Captain
Pretty Boy. They had, like, road flares.
Captain Pretty Boy.
What were they going to do with a fucking road flare?
I don't know. Signal zombies over here?
Yeah.
Well, what happened was, you remember Captain Pretty Boy with the acid in his face?
Yes.
Well, he decided because he was no longer pretty that he had no reason to live. So he said, you guys, go on through the tunnel. I'll take care of these zombies. We can't get out of here. Even though I'm ugly, I have no reason to live. So, dynamite, something, he blows up, fuck him. They're running through a mine shaft, and zombies are coming out as moss zombies from the wall.
Are they attacking with more bad techno music?
Oh, God, awful techno music, seriously. Skrillex is behind them saying, get them my minions! And they make it to... the laboratory where they reveal that some fucking doctor from fucking Spain did something and zombies came out and he jerks off into the fucking primordial ooze and creates a bad movie. Something, something, something. People die. Doctor dies. All the zombies are dead. I don't know how that happens. And guy dude and chick female escape in a helicopter and she's a zombie. And stuff. Cut scene. It's a really bad movie.
I got more out of that movie in that minute 30 rant that you just gave.
I saw the movie multiple times.
Sitting down and watching this film.
It was... It's just... You just drift. There's nothing about this movie that captures you. Now, I will say, though, there was a sequel to this movie.
You are kidding me.
And you know what? It was actually good. I'm not joking. It wasn't
done by... I don't even believe you.
No, it wasn't done by you balls. I suggest that somebody, anybody who's listening to
this... I think my balls could direct this movie and do a better job.
Than you balls. No, it wasn't done by you balls. It was done by somebody else. It was actually a sci-fi movie. Go figure. You know, it's...
I'm not even willing to try.
And no, it's worth it. It's really good. There's certain sections of the movie where you're just like, really, this isn't fucking plausible. But it was actually a halfway decent zombie movie that that touches on every other zombie aspect of zombie movies.
Once they took Flying V formation, it lost me. Like, I'm done. I was like, this is the point of the movie where I'm not going to see any more boobs.
Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Let's break up.
And they just became the Mighty Ducks, and they're taking out zombies.
Emilio Estevez is like, carrying them on as he's getting eaten alive.
I would rather watch that. I would rather watch Emilio Estevez and a bunch of little kids with hockey sticks in the Flying V formation beat taking out zombies.
And be far more effective.
Than somebody who has to jump in the air and do a 360 to shoot a shotgun.
Yeah, seriously, this movie was... there's no words to describe how bad this movie was. I actually have a list of movies that are the worst movies ever created, and this is number 3 on my list.
All right, well, we'll get into that list someday.
Oh, no. You'll learn it now, because I want people to know what these fucking movies are. We'll never do. All right, fine.
Scale of 1 to 10, how many bad techno tracks will you give this?
AIDS.
You say 8?
AIDS. No, not 8. AIDS.
Oh, I was about to just kick you off the podcast and do this by myself.
If you said AIDS.
No, you have to pick a number, dude.
AIDS.
AIDS is not a number.
It is now. AIDS.
I will. What the hell did I give the Traveler? 2?
Yeah.
1.5?
Wow, you're making this worse than the Traveler.
No, I mean, what did I give the Traveler?
You gave the Traveler a 2.
I gave it a 2?
Yeah. That's fucking high up.
I will give this movie a very rough 2. I'll tie it with The Traveler only because there's boobs.
Yeah, if there were no tits in this entire movie, I swear to God, this movie, seriously, if you actually, and Todd, you're probably going to cut this out, if you screen this in Aurora, Colorado, there'd be no fatalities. ever. Because no one would have showed up. No one would have showed up to this awful fucking movie. But if someone did, there wouldn't be fatalities. There wouldn't be a murder. No, it would be suicide. People would throw themselves on bullets.
All right, so beer number six.
Yeah. Sake number.
And we're gonna try and wrap this up a little bit. So both of these movies got a 2 for me.
Yeah, and Val Kilmer won against Jack Torrance.
So that brings us to a horde of zombies versus Val Kilmer.
Well, Val Kilmer would win because a horde of zombies of this caliber would literally just fall on whatever Val Kilmer threw in front of him.
But he can't teleport away from all these zombies.
No, that's actually true. He can't actually teleport away from the zombies. But maybe the acid's
good. How many zombies are we talking? How many zombies are we going to give?
Six,
because that's what he fought. That's how many cops he fought.
Yeah, let's give him 6 zombies.
And he's in an enclosed room? How big is this room?
Let's give it like a 20 by 20.
All right. 20 by 20 room. And he can't leave the room. Nobody can leave the room?
No, no one can leave the room. Now, I am always partial to zombies.
I'm going to say Val Kilmer takes out a few zombies, but eventually they get him.
But Val Kilmer was a ghost.
No, he was not. He got shot in the freaking chest.
Well, zombies can't say his name.
They don't need to say his name. There's just too many of them.
Right. If we want to go with that logic, then yes. Fine. Zombies kill Val Kilmer.
I mean, that's how I feel.
Well, then, actually, I do
feel honestly, like I just don't want Val Kilmer in our podcast next week.
I really don't either. So, Val Kilmer, die. Just die, please.
That's how I feel about it.
Mr. Nobody. Fuck you. Yeah. Die so, and zombies
so
win.
So, we're going to give that to zombies.
Yes.
All right. So, next week, actually, we're going to be doing this live from Count Orlok's Nightmare Gallery in Salem, Massachusetts.
Fantastic.
We'll be there from about 5 to 8 if you want to come on down and see us.
Yeah, I would suggest you do.
It's a good time.
All seven people listening to this.
Giving some walkthroughs away and some other things.
And if you're beautiful, or actually, if you're fucking hot with giant tits, please come down. We'll give you a walkthrough for free.
We'll put you in a movie.
Yeah, we will. Seriously.
We will put you in House of Dead 5.
Yeah. The Deadening.
The Return of Captain Cuban Cigar.
Captain Cuban Cigar, played by Val Kilmer.
Well, yes, absolutely played by Val Kilmer. Right. Somebody stamp that.
Yeah, please do.
Copyright it. Copyright.
We just made a movie. We just made a movie.
That's it.
All right.
So, actually, there might not be a podcast now that we're going to obviously be rich.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, next week, like I said, Salem, Massachusetts, Count Orlok's Nightmare Gallery.
Please be there.
Right downtown. It's an awesome place for anyone who doesn't know what it is. It's a wax museum dedicated to horror movies. So come on down, check it out. We'll be giving some stuff away.
Yep.
Talking with the people.
Yep.
Having a good time.
All right.
All right, so once again, I'm Todd.
And this is Nappy.
And I haven't created a Facebook or a Twitter.
We will, don't worry.
Or any of that stuff. I'll create a Facebook, I'll tell you what. It's going to be HazardCast205, because that can't be taken.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure, yeah.
HazardCast205 Facebook.
Yeah, you better do it quick. So
add us there. Tell your friends to add us. Tell your friends that make Facebook pages for their cats to have their cats add us. Whatever.
Yeah. Cat pages.
And we will see you guys next week.
Yep.